Proverbs chapter 31. We're going to start in verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 31 in verse number 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you just for the very applicable, the very helpful truths that a very simple statements can make in your word. And God, I pray that you just help us tonight as we just study the Bible. And God, I pray that you would just help us apply things to our lives as the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. Lord, Father, I pray that you speak to my heart, continue to speak to my heart. Help me to only say what you'd have me to. Lord, I don't want to say anything I shouldn't. Father, I pray that you'd be glorified in everything that's done here tonight. And just pray that you would receive the honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Proverbs chapter 31. It's mostly referenced as, you know, the proverb about the virtuous woman. And that is very true. So from verse number 10 down through the rest of the chapter, it talks about this virtuous woman. All right. But the first 9 verses, it doesn't really talk about that. Okay. The first 9 verses is a mother, ironically, giving advice to her son. Okay. Most of the Proverbs is a father talking to his son. This is advice from a mother to her son. And we're going to look at a thing this evening, and I hope I've got kind of 2 thoughts, and Lord's kind of put them together in my heart. But I'm going to talk this evening about the vine and the oak. The vine and the oak. Proverbs chapter 31 is to kings. That is who this is written to, is kings. It's written to King Lemuel specifically. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. And then it goes down. I want you to notice in verse number 3. The Bible says, give not thy, what's the next word there? Strength. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth what? Kings. Now, that to me, that was interesting. Give not thy ways to women. Now, this comes from his mother, okay? So she is using the discernment that God gave her to recognize that, you know, this it could be a potential problem. And it is for any man, all right? Females and finances, all right? That, honestly, that gets most guys out of the will of God. One or the other. And if you think about it, that pretty much comes down to it. Okay? So his mother said, all right, you need to be careful about this. But then she goes on to say, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Now, this next portion is kind of interesting. The Bible says, it is not for kings. All right? So she's specifically telling Lemuel, these things are not for kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. But then down in verse number 6, it says, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. So she's basically saying, all right, Lemuel, there is going to be a certain amount of people that do this, but it's not for kings. There's going to be a certain amount of people that partake in this kind of lifestyle, but it's not for kings. Okay? And listen, and young people, listen to me. This is, you know, you say, Brother Chad, why are some of the rules? Why do we have some of the things that our church stands for and the standards that we stand for? Listen, it's not... well, show me a verse in the Bible that specifically says I shouldn't do that. You know, there are just some things, young people, we don't do because we are a child of the King. I represent a different, listen, I don't, you know what she told Lemuel? She said, let those drink that don't have any hope at all. But you're a child of the King. Let those partake in this lifestyle that they don't have any other way to enjoy. You know, basically what she's saying, let the world go be the world, but you're a child of the King. Okay? And so she's basically telling him this. And I got thinking about this, and we, not too long ago, me and my dad, between the two of us, there's about 20 acres, I'd say, of forest, of woods. And we talked about maybe having, it needs to be a selective, perhaps a selective logging done in it. And so we had a couple loggers come out, and we had Jeremiah from up here in town, the forester, he come out. And we took a walk through the woods. And when you walk through Indiana woods, you've got a mix of a lot of different hardwoods, softwoods, conifer, different types of trees. But in our woods, it's basically what we would consider a hardwood, a deciduous woods, okay? So we've got a lot of maple. We've got a lot of, there's quite a few hickory. There's some red oak. There's some black oak. There's pin oaks. There's a lot of different, a variety of trees in our woods, okay? But I would say if you was to go pick the one tree that if I said, okay, we're going to make, which tree would be king of this woods, okay? I would say without even pretty much questioning, okay, it'd be a white oak, okay? It would be the white oak. That is, it's probably got the most, in our woods, now, perhaps a walnut, but we don't have really any walnuts. But the white oak has more value, with the trees that we have, has more value than any other tree. But it's not just the value of the wood, it's also the stateliness. If you've ever just seen a white oak that is pretty much out by itself, they just have a way of just growing up and almost being that picture-perfect tree, okay? And it's got, you know, it can last. I don't know, a lot of you have been to my house. Right beside my house, I've got some massive white oaks right beside my house. I bet, I don't know, five guys probably couldn't get our arms all the way around the one. I mean, they're massive. So we've got these huge, majestic, what I would say is majestic trees. And we went through the woods, and the forester, he walked in the woods, and he immediately saw a problem. It wasn't, because we were wanting to take care of some invasive species, and we were wanting to take care of some different things, but he immediately saw the problem, and I never had really thought of it as a problem. But he said, you see that vine? He said, you need to cut that down. You need to cut it off. And I never, you know, as a boy, I'd always gone in the woods and, you know, you'd find the perfect, we had a creek running all the way from one end to the other end, a small creek, it's dry right now, that's how small it is. But it would, certain times of year, would have water trickling through it. And I'd find, there was one in particular, it was perfect. And you could get on one bank, and the way the tree grew with the creek, you could swing on that vine and you could splash, you put your feet down in the water and just slide all the way through that water. And it was a blast. Not this past school picnic, but the school picnic before, a lot of people came to my house for the school picnic. And, you know, I had in my mind all the cool, you know, we're going to set up the bouncers and we're going to set up games and volleyball and all kinds of stuff. And my in-laws had been there like a week or two before, and they had cut some vines down by the other creek in front of our house. And it didn't matter. You could have had the coolest bounce houses. You could have had all the kids were lined up to swing across the creek on the vine, back and forth and back and forth, okay? And so to me, that was always kind of, that's what vines were. You know, it was just something, I'd climb the vines, okay? I'd climb all the way up to the top, you know, to the bottom branches of the trees. It wasn't a big deal to me. But he said, you need to get rid of the vines. The loggers came in and they're looking at the trees and he said, well, you know, we could do a selective cut. He's like, but to what would help your woods more than anything is to get rid of the vines. And I thought, man, that's kind of it. And all three of them, everyone I talked to, that was like one of the first things they said. Yeah, we need to get rid of the honeysuckle, and yeah, we need to get rid of the multifloral, and well, yeah, we need to get rid. But every one of them said, get rid of the vines. And I got thinking about that, and I'm gonna talk about that tonight because listen, in and of themselves, the vines aren't necessarily a bad thing. They provide food for some wildlife. They provide the bark. A lot of animals use the bark to make nests, or the birds use the bark to make nests. So in and of themselves, you know, and I like, not necessarily wild. If you've ever eaten wild grapes, you don't want a steady diet of them. They're rather sour. But I like grapes, okay? I like grape juice. So the vine in and of itself is not a bad thing, okay? But the problem is what the vine eventually grows into be. And I didn't really understand this. And folks, sometimes we think, as far as what I'm talking about, the king. You know, as a child of the king, sometimes the things that we have in our lives aren't necessarily a bad thing, but it's what those things can grow into be. Okay? And as I thought about the king, I thought about, okay, well, how do I tell if I was in the presence of a king, what would be one way I could recognize a king? All right? How could I recognize a king? Well, I think the first way would be the appearance, right? I think a king ought to look like a king. All right? I mean, if you was just a person and said, well, I wonder if this person's a king, especially in Bible days, you think about that, where they very much dress distinctly. Okay, folks, listen, I'm a child of the king. And there are some things that I don't do because I am a child of the king. And there's some things I don't do because I partake or because I don't want to partake in because I'm a child of the king. But one of those things is I need to also look like a child of the king. You know, in Numbers, I'm going to read this verse to you, Numbers chapter 15, verse 38. This is talking to the priest. The Bible says, speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a whoring. You know what the Bible basically told the priest? He said, this is something special for you. All right? Not just the priest, but he said, speak unto the children of Israel. So they were supposed to put a hem in their garment. Okay? Now, to me, the first thing I thought of before the whole ribbon to blue, which I'm not going to get into typology, because that's not really, I don't really get into that a whole lot. But here's the first thing I thought. Okay? If, for those of you ladies in here that sew, if you don't have a hem, all right, which is what that was, if you don't have a hem, what kind of edge is that? It's a raw edge. And what happens to a raw edge in fabric? Frays becomes, for lack of a better term, ratty looking. Okay, you know what God said? He said, I want you to put a hem on it and make it clean and neat looking. Okay? Now, that was the first thing that came to my mind. It's like, okay, if I don't have a hem on something, it's going to get all nasty and ratty looking. And you know what? You know what God said? Hey, I want you to look different than everyone else out there in the world. You're a child of the king. So look like a child of the king. You represent Christ. You know, there's some shirts I don't wear because of the advertisement on the shirt. I don't care if somebody gave it to me. I don't wear it. Because listen, folks, if you wear that shirt, you promote that company. You do. Okay? And sometimes you see people and you're like, do you really know what that company stands for? Okay? I'm just going to give you an illustration. This is just me. I'm always looking for a hat. For some reason, I can't find hats that fit my head right. All right? I either look like Elmer Fudd or, you know, something, all right? And I don't like that, so I'm always looking for a hat, and sometimes I can find, like, you know, a mossy oak hat, okay? Now, is there anything wrong with mossy oak? Not that I know of. In fact, we're talking about oaks tonight, okay? I don't know anything wrong about mossy oak, but I don't wear mossy oak. You say, "But Brother Chad, it's just a hat with a mossy oak symbol on them." I don't wear mossy oak, so I'm not going to wear the mossy oak hat. You say, "Brother Chad, that's stupid." Okay, so maybe it's stupid. All right? All right, if I had, you know, somebody gives me a really nice, you know, Jeff Gordon number 24 hat. Okay? Now, my last name's Gordon, and I used to have fun with that, okay? But the truth of the matter is, I can't stand to watch racing. Literally, you know, people going around in a circle. And in my, you know, my mom's family especially, for hours, they would sit there and watch people. You know, the only exciting thing that happens is the wrecks, okay? You know? But they go, so why would I wear a hat that promotes something I'm not even interested in? Does that make sense? Okay. You know, there's all kinds of, you know, you can go all kinds of different directions with that. Okay. But I don't, and that's just a very simple thing. But you know what we sometimes do is we don't think about what does that company stand for? What else does that company produce? Okay. Because you're promoting something. And I think as a Christian, I think it's important to say, okay, wait a second. Am I, you know, okay, I wear Carhartt stuff. I don't, you know, last Carhartt commercial I seen wasn't an indecent commercial, okay? Right? I wear Milwaukee stuff because it's nice. But I also use Milwaukee tools, all right? I don't wear DeWalt stuff. I know I'm meddling. I know. But, hey, listen, hang on a second, though. Wouldn't it be kind of, I do have one DeWalt saw. Two. I've got two DeWalt saws. Hey, but I've got, I think, probably 15 Milwaukees. All right, so it's a little offset. All right? But listen, wouldn't it be a little hypocritical if I ran one complete set and I wore the opposite brand's logo? I don't wear Ford stuff. Do I, listen, no. Do I have anything against Ford? No. But wouldn't it be weird if I drive a Chevy and a Dodge and I wore all Ford apparel? Kind of odd, okay? Listen, if you're a child of the King, represent the King, okay? I'm not saying you have to wear Jesus, you know, a big fish on everything, okay? You don't have to do that. But I think as a Christian, our clothing, the way we appear, ought to represent Jesus Christ. I think men, even as a man, you know, it's kind of obvious for a lady to be, oh, that's a Christian. But even as a man, I want people to know, I don't know, but there's something different about him. He's clean cut. He carries himself well. Okay. He dresses nice. All right. Even if I'm working, there's nothing wrong with that. The King's appearance, the King's speech, the King's speech. The Bible says, righteous lips are the delight of kings. They love him that speaketh right. A divine sentence is in the lips of the King. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. You know, what did they say about Peter when Peter denied Christ or when Peter was there? They said, thy speech bewrayeth thee. They said, your speech tells on you. Listen, folks, your speech tells on you. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It tells on you. The King, I can recognize a king by his speech, just like I can recognize an oak by certain attributes. I can recognize a king by the same way. The King's manners, Bible says, is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Your manners, your mannerisms, the way you conduct your life, all right? You know, can a fellow church member visit your neighbors and feel very comfortable visiting your neighbors? Or is there a, oh, you go to the same church that they do? Okay, your mannerisms, the way you conduct your life, your deeds, the Bible says, by your fruits you shall know them, the things that you do, they ought to reflect Jesus Christ. by your company, the company that you keep. All right? These are all ways that we might be able to identify a king. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, the Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, we're going to get to that. I'm going to tie this in with the oak and the vine here in just a moment. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 7, the Bible says, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father. And then very familiar, most of you know this, Psalms 1, 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then look at verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Listen, folks, because of salvation, I am no longer like the world. Am I better than anyone in the world? No. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Okay? But because of who my heavenly Father is, I should conduct myself more like a king. Okay? The more the world goes to acting like animals, and they are, they're being taught that they're animals, so why don't they act like animals? Okay? The more I should act like a king. Okay? And it's naturally going to separate the two. Okay? It's naturally going to separate the two. Grapevines, as we talk about the grapevines and the oak. So if we have a king and the child of the king is like this oak. Say, Brother Chad, why did they talk about the grapevines? What was the big deal about the grapevines? And I had Max bring me up this one. All right? What's the big deal about the grapevines? All right? Now, this is just a piece, obviously, of a grapevine. What's the big deal about the grapevines, Brother Chad? Grapevines are not like mistletoe. All right? Everybody knows what mistletoe is. And you all think you really know what mistletoe is. Which, when you really study mistletoe, this is just a side note. When you really study mistletoe, I'm not real sure why people kiss under it. All right? Because mistletoe is actually a parasite. It is. Mistletoe literally attaches itself to a host plant, and it will suck the life out of that host plant. It's a parasite. That's what mistletoe is, okay? But a grapevine's not like that. A grapevine doesn't attach itself directly to the tree, per se, okay? It doesn't penetrate the tree and take life that way. Because we'd all be like, oh, that's bad. We got to get rid of it, right? Grapevines don't do that. Grapevines grow with the tree, all right? I was kind of wondering, I thought, you know, wonder how a grape, this is not the biggest we've got. We've got several larger. But how does this get, you know, 60 feet up in the air and grapevines free hang, okay? And that's one of the problems. So you'll have this grapevine swinging or whatever in the forest, down below the forest canopy, and this grapevine's way up there in the air, and it's like, well, how did that get up there? There's two ways. You know, people, I want you to listen to me real careful. Grapevines can be harmful, and at first they're not noticed because the grapevine must grow up with the tree. The grapevine doesn't just climb up the tree. Poison ivy does that. If you look at poison ivy's got tendrils that go around and it'll grab the tree, and the poison ivy will climb the tree. Virginia creeper will climb the tree. Grapevines must grow with the tree. You know what that means? That means that a grapevine that's big and in a large tree had to start when that tree was young. And it wasn't a big deal. It was a weight that it could easily carry. Okay? So it starts when it's young. A grapevine is not like a honeysuckle. Some of the Japanese, especially the Japanese honeysuckles, have you ever seen the walking sticks that are twisted? The twisted walking sticks. Most of those are done by some, a lot of them are done by honeysuckle, specifically Japanese honeysuckle. It twists, and it can twist so tight it'll actually girdle the tree and kill it. Okay? But a lot of those walking sticks have got that honeysuckle wrapped around them. And then the tree, because it's so tight, it curls trying to grow away from that honeysuckle. And we get those nice looking walking sticks. But grapevines don't do that. Grapevines just kind of nonchalantly just kind of grow with the tree. The problem is that the grapevine develop weight. They're awake. You know what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12? Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know what this grapevine does? You know what every one of those guys that came to our woods and said? They said, you need to get rid of the grapevines. And at first, I didn't really understand why. But then they said, that grapevine will do more to stunt the growth of that mighty oak tree than anything else. The sheer weight. And it's amazing. You cut, especially in the spring, you cut a grapevine and it runs with water, literally like a solid stream of water. All that weight that is up there in the top of the tree, it makes that tree so it can't push up. Okay? It's robbing the potential out of what could be a very valuable tree. But Brother Chad, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. Because that's a key. And this is just a vine. Okay? What's wrong with the grapevines? It's not just the vine. You must also think of all the foliage that comes with it. At some point, the vine gets to the place where the tree cannot support the added weight. And go to our woods right now. I can take you to, without leaving my driveway, I can take you to two trees. The tops are all broken out of it. No longer will it have the potential to be a nice tree. The top's broken out. And you go look at the base, and this is where one of this vine came from. At the base of this tree, don't really notice it. Doesn't seem like a big deal, but it's broken the whole top out of that tree because of all that weight. It's not just the weight, but grapevines starve the tree. Not like a parasite. They're not tapping in and drawing all that life out of it. Okay? You know what they're doing? They're putting off so many leaves and so much foliage that the sunlight, remember science class, photosynthesis, right? They're covering that whole tree and the tree can't get the sunlight that it needs. Remember all that water that's pouring out of it? That's water that is taken from the tree that's right next to it. Those nutrients that it's required for it to grow are nutrients that it's taking from the tree. Listen, folks, say, Brother Chad, what's wrong with the grapevine? Well, nothing, except that it's stunning the growth of the tree. Listen, folks, there's some things in life that, Brother Chad, you can't give me a Bible verse for it. No, but it's going to stunt your growth as a Christian. As a child of the King, it's not for kings. It's not for kings to dabble in the things of the world. Listen, hey, you're better than that. Not because of you, but because of the grace of God. But so many times, listen, so many times we start with something young and we get an appetite. I talked about appetites not too long ago, right? We get an appetite for something. And that appetite starts slowly draining what we could be doing, the full potential. Those trees will twist because they got so much weight in them. They'll twist the trunk. And that tree visibly doesn't look like there's anything wrong with it. But you know what that forester said? He said that tree, the whole grain of that tree, because of that weight, will twist. You mean a mighty oak? Yeah, the king of the woods. By, if you compared them, a very small problem. But you know what he said? He said, you got to get rid of them. You got to cut them. Okay? Now listen, folks, and I'll be done. I know that there's a lot of things in my life, especially young people growing up. You know, it's easy to get these things in your mind that, oh, I got to have this, or I got to have that, or I got to do this, or I got to go here, okay? But if we're not careful, those things start to become a weight. Young people, especially young people, listen to me. You're going to have opportunities. Remember what I said. These things start usually when they're young. But if you don't kick them when they're little, it can already hurt the tree before you even realize it. Because listen, it's not for, young ladies, it's not for you. Young men, it's not for you. There's something better out there. All right? Well, I don't have a boyfriend or I don't have a girlfriend. Listen to me. That comes in due time. What happens is you get this started, and then it's going to stunt what God has for you. Okay? Don't let those things, and listen, it's true for adults. And it can be a thing that's not a bad thing. I like to work. If I had a hobby, it would be work. I do. I enjoy the work. But you know what work can be for me? Work can be a weight that drags me down from what God wants me to be. God never intended for that mighty oak to be burdened down with a grapevine. Okay? Listen, I'm a child of the King. Praise God, I'm a child of the King. So why stoop to that? You know what he said? You know what she said to Lemuel? King Lemuel, the world's going to have their parties because that's the only way they have joy. The world's going to have their pleasures because that's the only way they can find pleasure. But it's not for kings, Lemuel. It's not for kings. Get rid of the companions. Get rid of those influence. You know, we've all got the phone. And if we're not careful, those influences that we're allowing into our hearts and into our minds can negatively impact us for Christ. And we don't even realize that oak honestly doesn't even know that grapevine's there for a good part of its life. But then it's too late. Then it's too late. It's starving us, folks. Listen, the world has got its... You cannot pull a grapevine out of a tree. It's impossible. You will tear your equipment up pulling it out of a tree. Unless it's dead, you'll tear your equipment up or you'll pull the tree over. You know what the world's got its fingers so entwined into our lives? You know the only way to do it sometimes? Cut it off and let it swing. But Brother Chad, what about all that stuff up there? Do I got to pull it all out? You know what they'll tell you? You will go to any arborist site and say, let it die. Let it die. But that's the only way that tree will reach its full potential, is if it's not burdened with that besetting weight. All right? So, Brother Chad, what's your goal tonight? What do you want? If I could sum it up, listen, folks, we're children of the King. Let's not be weighed down with such petty, insignificant things. All right? Because if we're not careful, it's tenacious. It just grows and it spreads, and then it starves and it burdens. And you don't even know it's happening. All right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, just a short challenge, just a short woodlot lesson, God, from your creation, from the Bible. Lord, as a child of the King, there's just some things in life I don't want to participate in. God, I pray that you just help the young people to and adults. Lord, help us to look at our lives and just recognize things that can be a weight, that can be a burden. Lord, so many times these things I know in my life, it seems like I'm just so busy sometimes. And God, I'm sorry because doesn't seem like I should do what I ought to do. And there's always an excuse, always a need. And Lord, I pray that we would just sever those things that are weighing us down. As Hebrews said, let's lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset. Help us act like children of the King. Help us look like children of the King and talk and just our mannerisms. Lord, I pray that we would live above the common, the the common picture that the world paints for us. And God, I pray that you just help us, help our young people. God, I pray that not only would you put a hedge of protection around them, but you would also give them the strength to stand for right. And we'll give you the praise and glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's